We'll stand for the reading of the word in Mark chapter 9, verse 14. Mark chapter 9, and verse 14. When he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away, he's wasting away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered them and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Father, we're thankful this morning for this opportunity to worship the Lord. We thank you for the presence of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we have felt your presence already this morning. Ask you, Lord, for your anointing, your direction in this message. Pray, Father, that you'd bless this congregation through the Word of God. We'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In my text, we have a distressed father bringing his son to Jesus for deliverance from an evil spirit. And I want to preach to you this morning. I preached from this text or from this story on Father's Day, but I'm going to go maybe a little bit different direction this morning. Felt like the Lord impressed this on me again. I want to preach to you this morning on Satan's footprint. This father who brought his son to Jesus was disappointed when Christ was not there where he expected to find him. In fact, Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, in prayer, and with his disciples, Peter, James, and John. But this man found a group of the disciples of Jesus, and he sought their help instead. But his despair was compounded when the disciples could not help his son. Finally, Jesus arrived in the valley below and delivered this man's son from the grip of Satan. And there were four things that were critical to the deliverance of this young man. First of all, his father recognized the work of Satan in his son's life. He identified it correctly as the work of Satan. And not only did the father identify correctly the work of Satan in this son's life, but he was distressed at the work of Satan in this son's life. He could have just said, well, all young boys have their problems. You know, all young people go through stages. But this father was distressed by what he saw working in his son's life. And thirdly, this father recognized
an opposite and greater power in Jesus Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. He brought him to Jesus, and fourthly, he desired and sought help from Jesus. And Jesus demonstrated he was able to help him. Hallelujah. I want to characterize for you for a few minutes the work of Satan. This father recognized it, the work of Satan in his son's life. Regardless of any failures in this father's past, this father recognized the footprint of Satan in his son's behavior. It may have taken him some time to discern that Satan was behind the condition of his son. And it may have taken him some time to figure out that this was the result of the activity of the devil. But that discovery was critical to the recovery of his son, correctly identifying the problem in this young man's life. It's important to all of us that we be wise to the schemes of Satan. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2:11, we are not ignorant of his devices. Paul warned us, Peter warned us in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Peter exhorts us to sober thinking and extreme caution, because Satan is like a lion lurking in strategic places, waiting to pounce upon his victim. Satan is likened to a lion because he's hungry for prey. He is not only hungry for prey, he is a powerful predator, and he hides from his intended victim and disguises himself, as it were, hiding himself from his intended victim. And like a lion, he has no mercy on his chosen prey. He aims at nothing less than the destruction of those who become his victims. He is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I want to point out a few telltale signs of Satan's presence and activity. First of all, he disrupts and destroys crucial human relationships. I don't know how long standing this work of Satan was in this son, but no doubt the devil had disrupted the relationship between this father and this son, taken this son away from this father. It happens, brother, in homes. It is the Lord's purpose. It is his plan for every generation to live by the same book, follow the same principles, love the same God, keep the same commandments, have fellowship one with another, generation after generation. It is the devil that robs us of fellowship with future generations, generation after generation. Satan is looking for prey to disrupt crucial human relationships. He works on husbands and wives. And it's important, brother, that we be sensitive enough that we can see the working of Satan and identify the work of the devil. It is the devil's work when spouses begin to withdraw from each other and they are no longer best friends. They just live together in the same house. Each one has their own life, absent from the other. They no longer desire companionship and intimacy with each other. Are y'all listening to me? It is the footprint of Satan. And when there is an adversarial relationship between parents and children, when children are a nuisance, a burden, an inconvenience, when there is no parental protection from the prowling predator, when children are left alone to face the devil without any parental supervision, unskilled, untaught, uninstructed, and the devil is prowling, and no parent around, nobody there to protect these children. Unsupervised, undisciplined, untrained, I'm telling you, it is the footprint of Satan. When children are treated with cruelty because they are an obstacle to their parents' pleasure, left alone while parents go to parties and have a big time, it is the footprint of Satan. When in children, parental authority is resented, and efforts to restrain youthful impulses are met with rebellion, it is the footprint of Satan. It is important that we be able to identify the works of the devil in our life, in our home, and in our society. The Bible tells us that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity or wickedness and idolatry. You might not be too concerned about that rebellious spirit in your child, but you would be concerned if you knew they were trafficking with devils and involved in witchcraft. And the Bible tells us that that rebellious spirit is as witchcraft, because it was that spirit that caused Satan to rebel against God in heaven and caused him to be cast out of heaven and become a demon and a sign to destruction. And when that spirit is in a child, I'm telling you, brother, it is the footprint of Satan. We must recognize the works of the devil. And this father identified correctly that what's happening in my son's life, it is the work of the devil. He saw clearly that Satan was active in his son's life. Satan promotes destructive behavior in the lives of young people and older people as well. Alcohol and drugs and sexual looseness is destructive behavior. It costs down the road. Young people think that they're having a good time, that they're really cool, smoking that Camel cigarette, drinking that Budweiser, and having parties with their friends. But brother, there is sowing going on that's going to bring a sore reaping down the road. And Satan is the man that produces and promotes destructive behavior. We understand that when young people and older people as well, I'm telling you, this is not confined to young people. Moral looseness is not confined to young people. Brother, in all age groups in this country, there is a moral insanity going on in this country among all age groups. There is a moral looseness and moral chaos in this country because of the activity of Satan. When a person has multiple partners outside of marriage, they have a good chance of shortening their life and inviting a whole list of repercussions and that make life a constant challenge down the road. I'm telling you, it is the devil's footprint, brother, when people engage in destructive behavior. He promotes death-defying actions, daredevil activity, reckless driving. When a young person or anybody else gets in a vehicle and they don't understand the power that's beneath their foot and the destructiveness that can happen when a person is careless with an automobile. Brother, people are killed on the highways every day. Every day somebody's dying. And usually it's because somebody was careless, somebody was impaired, they had alcohol in their system, drugs in their system, they were driving too fast, they were driving recklessly. I'm telling you, it is the devil that promotes reckless and destructive behavior. We see the footprint of the devil. Y'all are getting quiet, and it's tightening on down. But I'm in control right here, right now. I'm the one talking. Hallelujah. So I'm going to keep on preaching. If you quit smiling, I'm going to keep on preaching. Praise God. I feel like God laid this on my heart. I want you to know that we got to recognize the footprint of the devil. When there is violence toward others and violence towards self, that is the footprint of the devil, a violent spirit. Did you know that the devil is working in the lives of young people, promoting self-destructive behavior in them? That young girls cut themselves, depressed to relieve their depression by cutting their bodies. I'm telling you, it is the footprint of Satan, brother. And girls, especially girls, you know, they get this idea that they've got to have a certain kind of figure, and they'll eat and then throw up and eat and slow up, and you see them wasting away. It is the footprint of the devil trying to destroy that young girl. Are y'all hearing me? And I'm telling you, you got to recognize the footprint of the devil. People engaging in destructive behavior, it is the work of Satan. Piercings in their body, body art on their body. This is the footprint of Satan, brother. It is the devil's work. Spiritual blindness is the work of Satan. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know it is the work of the devil when a person has resentment toward the messenger of truth. You know it is the footprint of the devil when someone has resentment toward the truth. The truth is designed to save you. The truth is designed to set you free. And whenever there is a spirit of resentment toward the truth and toward the messenger of the truth, that is the footprint of the devil, brother. The devil is active in that life. When there is admiration toward those who are rebels against Christ, and there is admiration toward those who are the enemies of the gospel of Christ. I'm telling you, when you see pictures of Elvis Presley on the wall, and Marilyn Monroe, and Justin Bieber, and all of the other perverts and ungodly entertainers of our generation, when you see that going on, You know that the devil is at work in that heart and in that mind. It is the footprint of the devil when we admire those who are the enemies of Christ. You know that spiritual blindness is an indication that Satan is working in that life. Closing their eyes, closing their ears, they begin to excuse behavior in themselves that they once found to be wicked and disgusting in other people. Haven't you seen it? Haven't you seen people who at one time thought this behavior was disgusting? They thought it to be wicked. And down the road, they begin to excuse that same behavior in their life. You know what that is? Spiritual blindness. Evidence of the working of the devil. It is the footprint of Satan. One day, I stood in a home. Drunk man here, maybe asking about another man. This man's drunk. I mean, he's drunk now. And he spoke contemptuously of this other man as being just an old drunk. And he's drunk right then. We have this tendency, you know, not to see ourselves like other people see us and like God sees us. We have this tendency to think we're a lot better than we really are, to justify ourselves, to excuse sin in our own life, to think it bad in somebody else, but not so bad in us. We don't have to be a drunk for that to be true, brother. Just have spiritual blindness in your life. Have the devil pull the shades on your mind and heart, and you'll be just like that drunk. This is the footprint of the devil. But listen, the work of Christ is opposite and greater than the work of the devil. Hallelujah. And this father recognized that Christ had a record of rescuing people from the power of Satan. And he brought his son to Jesus, hoping that Jesus would produce a different result in his son. Now listen to me. Do you know that when Jesus is in control of a life, that there's going to be a very different result from when Satan is in control of a life? You believe that? I'm telling you, this is the truth that this father saw, that Jesus would not throw his son in the fire, that Jesus would not throw his son in the water and try to drown him, that Jesus would not throw this son on the ground, wallowing and foaming at the mouth. He knew that Jesus would produce different results in the life of his son. Brother, I'm telling you, when Jesus gets a hold of a life, you're going to know it. I said, you're going to know it, that Jesus has got a hold of that life, because there's going to be different results in that life than when Satan has a hold of it. And not only will there be different results, but I'm telling you, Jesus has power greater than the power of Satan. And every man, woman, boy, and girl that's been affected by the power and activity of the devil has the potential to be delivered, because Jesus has a greater power. It's an opposite power, but it's a greater power than the power of sin and Satan. Jesus can produce better results in the lives of our families and homes. And brother, I'm telling you that we need to know the difference. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 24, Jesus is telling the parable of the wheat and the tares. A man sowed good seed in his field, but when the wheat came up, so did the tares. And the servants asked the householder, from whence the tares? And the householder answered, an enemy hath done this. Brother, we got to be able to recognize, an enemy hath done this. We got to see it for what it is. the footprint of Satan, the activity of the devil. And if you don't understand that, you won't be too concerned about it. If you don't understand that this is the work of the devil, this is the footprint of Satan in my home, in my life, in my family, you won't be too concerned about it until you identify where this is coming from. When we identify, when we see homes broken, we see churches, families, individuals taking on the trappings of the world, we see children walking away from the house of God, we see our nation celebrating perversity, denigrating righteousness. From whence is this? I'm going to tell you where it's from. An enemy hath done this. It is the work of Satan. And the only hope for our homes and for our churches and the only hope for the salvation of our people is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. We must be distressed over the work of Satan or we'll never do anything about it. You hear me? I said we've got to be distressed over the work of Satan or we'll never do anything about it. God sent the angel to put a mark on the men in Jerusalem that sighed and cried for the abominations that were committed there in Jerusalem. I wonder if that angel came among us this morning, could he find among us people sighing and crying over the abominations that are going on in this country right now? That those people were marked for mercy. When the judgment of God was falling, they were spared because they identified with the program of God and they had a heart for God's cause and they sighed and cried over the abominations going on in that city and in that country. I wonder if are we distressed over the work of Satan? This father was distressed over the work of the devil in his son's life. And he had confidence in Christ that Jesus was able to help. And he appealed to Jesus for help. Brother, we have got to have the help of Jesus in this day and hour. There is no hope for your children. There's no hope for your families. There's no hope for our society outside of Jesus Christ. Jesus is our only hope. And we've got to believe that the power of Jesus is opposite the power of Satan and greater than the power of Satan. And Jesus can correct what's wrong in people's lives. My heart is stirred up, brother. I'm telling you, I've been brokenhearted. I've been brokenhearted. Two people have died there in the apartments where Sister Felicia lives. We don't know the circumstances. Why? They're dead. Young people. Dead. Two of them in the last 2 weeks or so. And one of them has been in this church in the last few weeks. My heart's broken about this. The devil's slipping people out into eternity, lost without God. Making our nation, we're going fast down a road to hell and destruction. We're living in a world, brother. Let's not hide our head in the sand and think things are pretty good. They're not pretty good. Satan is at work. The devil is loose. And we are seeing homes split apart. We're seeing companions drift apart. We're seeing children rebel against the truth and against God. And you know we can just pass it off. This is normal behavior. This is just the way teenagers do. This is just what happens. You know, I'm telling you, we're not going to get any help until we identify where this is coming from, and we understand that there's only one hope for help, and that's Jesus. And we can take it to Jesus, brother. We can take ourselves to Jesus. When the devil is at work in our own life, we can take ourselves to Jesus. And Jesus can fix what's wrong in us. We got to identify it in our own life. Is this the work of Jesus or is this the work of the devil in my life? causing me to have these attitudes, causing me to act this way in my home, on my job? Is this the work of Jesus, or is this the work of the devil? You gotta identify the footprint in your life, brother and sister. When we identify the footprint in our life, we see the activity of the devil. There's only one hope for you, brother. Only one hope for you, sister. You got to run to Jesus, because Jesus is the only one that has the power to cast him out and defeat him in your life and change your life and make it what it ought to be. Only Jesus can do that. If there are souls in this place this morning, and Satan's working in your heart and in your life, and you know, just sort of excuse yourself and justified yourself, and you're just going on in your sin, not recognizing who's at work in your life. I'm telling you, there is a lion loose, seeking whom he may devour. Now, I want Sister Jude to come to the piano. I thank God that this father found help for a son, that Satan had abused that boy, tried to kill him. He would have killed him. I'm telling you, the devil would have killed that boy and took him to hell if there hadn't been some intervention in that boy's life. There was a suicidal devil in that boy and was trying to kill him. And Jesus delivered that boy from that suicidal devil, cast him out of him, turned that boy loose, and gave him back to his dad. I'm going to tell you what. In the next chapter, there were mothers that brought their young children to Jesus and asked Jesus to bless my children. And the disciples said, send them away. They thought Jesus didn't have time for them children. Send them away. And Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Those mothers handed their children to Jesus. And Jesus took them in his arms, and he blessed them. Listen to me, folks. I want to tell you something. It's a whole lot better to bring them to Jesus before Satan gets to them and let Jesus bless them before the devil curses them than to wait until the devil's got a hold of their life and wrecked and ruined their life and then decide we're going to get concerned about it. Let's get concerned right now. Let's pray right now. Let's do our best to get them to Jesus right now and let Jesus take them in his arms and touch them and bless them right now before Satan gets to them. There's a prowling devil, brother. Prowling, dangerous, powerful predator, seeking whom he may devour. But he can't touch somebody that's held in the arms of somebody with nail prints in their hands and spear wound in their side. He may prowl and growl, but when that young person, that mom, that dad, whoever they are cradled in nail-scarred hands, you can't touch anybody that's protected in the arms of Jesus.